Well, the JFK documents came out yesterday, and I have not had a chance to review them.
Tell me what the highlights are.
Well, I have seen some of the highlights of what people are saying, and I don't know whether these are necessarily true or whether when I read them I will come to the same conclusion, but there's a report that Oswald met with a senior KGB agent months before the assassination. That happened in Mexico City's Soviet embassy,
mm-hmm.
2 months before the president was shot and killed. And the guy was a senior agent in the 13th Department, the KGB, which was responsible for assassinations, according to one report I'm reading here. And this was revealed in an intercepted phone call to the Soviet embassy, in which this guy was heard to be speaking in broken Russian. So I do think that, and I was hoping that these documents would shed light on Oswald's Mexico City visit, because that is one of the most interesting aspects of this, is him trying to go down. He did go down to Mexico City and went to the Soviet embassy down there trying to defect. And was obviously unsuccessful. But there is not a lot of information about that visit. And that was the hope, is that these documents were going to provide more information about that. And that's one of the reported stories. It's the intercepted phone call about Lee Oswald being at the Soviet embassy there speaking with that agent.
Well, that certainly casts things in a different light, doesn't it?
Or does it? So that's interesting. Then you have this other report of a tip-off made by a reporter, made to a reporter. It was a suspected Russian spy that may have tipped off the British press that JFK would be assassinated 25 minutes before he was shot. This phone call happened on November 22nd, 1963, and it was a cable from the CIA station in London to the director of the FBI in Washington, D.C., sent on the morning of the assassination. It said, I guess somebody called the newspaper and told the guy that, call the American Embassy in London for some big news, and then hung up. And so they're taking that as meaning, you know, huh, see? People knew about it.
Nutty
even across
calls
the
like
pond.
That happened all the time, but this one happened to hit, so therefore, okay, maybe someone knew something.
Right.
Or was that call traced to the grassy knoll?
What?
We didn't have cell phones back then, and I don't think they had a payphone there at the grassy knoll.
Think they would have noticed someone dressed up as a Russian spy using the phone at the grassy knoll? So that's another one. Minor annoyance. People are blowing that up into. And the guy called up and completely told the reporter in London all about the assassination plot. I don't know about that. You're taking call for some big news being the same thing of he knew exactly where the guy was on the grassy knoll.
Right.
It's not that detailed.
That's what you Oswald truthers do. You can always dismiss some reasonable claim.
That's not a reasonable claim.
You know what else is frustrating is some accounts from people who are actually there, Grassy Knoll, that whole Dealey Plaza mm-hmm. area. Some, you know, said, well, I think the shots, you know, came from back behind that fence. I thought I saw something back there. If you conducted an experiment right now, put 500 people down in that area, however many people were there, and you didn't kill anybody, but you fired shots and... you had one shooter. I guarantee you,
you
would
people
have
for their ear witness
yes,
accounts.
You would have 10 different, maybe 15 different accounts of how many shots, where it came from,
right.
And that's just what happens. You just have different accounts, especially in a panic situation. You're a fight or flight kind of situation, and that's all you're thinking about. And then 30 minutes later, you're asked how many shots were there. Oh gosh, I don't know, 8.
Well, I've brought this up on the show before. You'll have conspiracy people tell you, why did 20 people said they thought that shots came from the grassy knoll. They said they heard shots from the grassy knoll.
You can see people running up the grassy knoll.
Yeah, running up the grassy knoll. Look at all this. And then you go, okay, that's true. That's a good question. Why did they say that? All right, now I want you to answer, why did 80 people say they came from the school book depository? I don't understand how you just dismiss 80 because you say the 20 are so much more important than the 80. Or whatever the percentage is, but it's like that. It's really lopsided into how many people.
Yeah.
The majority of people said three shots from the school book depository. And you had a bunch of other conflicting accounts, but they were much fewer than the number of people that said three shots from the school book depository.
Yeah.
But it goes to show you how people cherry pick through the evidence. I think you ought to look at all of it. Yeah. What is the answer to that? Why would people think it came from the grassy knoll? Is there any other explanation other than there being a shooter from the grassy knoll? Well, do acoustic evidence. You start studying the echo patterns up there, and you take into account people's fight or flight not getting things right.
Yeah.
And you try to come up with what is the most likely explanation then. And when you look at all the evidence, it leads to one place every single time. The most likely explanation is the one that all the evidence seems to fit, which is that he acted alone. You know, and they, in using as evidence, you know, why would a guy shoot at a president from the place he worked? Well, because he worked there and the president was going by.
He gave him access.
And he wanted to shoot the president.
Didn't really care if he worked there or not.
I mean, the very thing that they think is such evidence that he didn't do it is the exact reason he did do it. It's because Kennedy finds out Kennedy's driving right in front of him. He's already tried to commit one political assassination a few months earlier. He sees this chance for the biggest political assassination he can do. And he took that chance. He took that opportunity.
I don't know. There are a lot of questions still.
You mean if you're going to shoot the president, you're going to do it with your own gun and leave your fingerprints on it? I don't think so. No, wait. You just named all the evidence that leads you to believe he did do it. It was done with his gun, had his fingerprints on it. So, yeah, but then it's done from his workplace. Yeah, that's the place he worked. And then he's just going to run and be so obvious
that he was the one.
He wouldn't be so obvious that he was the one that did it if he did it. No, no, no. That's what makes it obvious he did it. It was because he did do it.
Hey, let me ask you something quickly. So the president released all of this yesterday, except for some files that the FBI and CIA wanted 6 more months or something to go over. What do you think are in those? Like, they've had 25 years to figure this out. At the last second, they said, no, we need to review these.
Right. Before I get to that, I want to be obnoxious P1. Hey, Craig, the president didn't release these documents. He just had the option of not releasing them.
Well, then he kind of released them.
I've been taking a test about 50 times on that. Somebody thinking that's a real important distinction to make.
Oh.
Anyway, yeah, so the president allows these things to actually be released by not preventing them being released. So now everyone's happy in the world. All right, so, yeah, what's in the ones that they did not release? Because they did hold back, I think it was, what, 200, 300 documents?
Something like that.
Somewhere in there. I do wonder why. Because to convince Trump not to release them, it has to be something pretty good. Because he's obviously not a guy who is so in bed with the CIA and FBI that he won't rag on them on Twitter.
Right.
I don't know what those would contain. I wonder if they contain things that are so highly volatile internationally about us attempting to assassinate other political leaders.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I think it has to be about. It's not about... It's not going to be anything about how J. Edgar Hoover was on the grassy knoll that day.
Well, even if it's us assassinating other political leaders, what's 6 more months going to do? How are they going to fix that in six months?
Not. Right.
Yeah.
I think they just hope that in 6 months they can have another Hail Mary that kicks it down the road.
Yeah.
And they're just trying to hope to prolong it.
All right, Gordo, thank you. That's Muse and the News with Gordo, brought to us by D&M Leasing and All-Pro Foundation Repair.
Thank you, Craig. All right, it's been 54 years since John F. Kennedy was killed here in Dallas, and a quarter century since Congress declared that yesterday was going to be the day when all classified records related to the assassination would be open to the public. And Trump's was promising that it was going to be very, very interesting. And he wanted all of these documents released. Well, then you had our spy agency, you had the CIA, and you had the FBI flooding Trump's desk with last-minute appeals to hold back some documents. And this was their tactic, right? They had 25 years, at least, to go through and figure out what they wanted to request to be kept secret and all of that. They wait until the 11th hour and then flood his desk with, hey, look, we request a review of this document to be withheld on this and such reason. Well, he didn't have time to review all of them. So what he basically had to do was hold back 300 of the documents and release all the rest. So released about 2,800 of them and hold those other ones back. And they have 6 months to review those and determine whether or not they're going to hold those back for good. But Trump was very frustrated, and rightly so. He said he wants transparency and that these agencies had more than enough time to submit these requests. And they had 25 years to do it, and they're doing it on the last day.
Yeah, that is frustrating. Do you think he really read every document? Or do you think he just went, okay?
No way.
No. He has someone handle that for him. But when it comes to sensitive matters, I'm sure he's going to have to make that determination, or he has a right-hand person who's going to determine and recommend to him what he should do on it. So they held back about 300 files. So now we get the conspiracy theorist. What's in those 300 files that they don't think we can handle? Then they're going to release those 300 files. Are those 300 files the same ones that were withheld from us 6 months ago? And then if they are the same 300 files withheld, which ones did we not even hear about that weren't even considered to be released? It never ends. There's always more. So, what is in the file? You all right, George?
That wouldn't be.
What's in the files that were released? Well, according to people who've gone through them somewhat quickly, because we've only had a day, you've got the CIA mulling over mafia hits on Fidel Castro, president of Cuba. You've got someone calling the FBI threatening to kill Lee Harvey Oswald a day before he was murdered. Before Oswald was murdered, not before Kennedy.
That's not
Kennedy
surprising. I'm sure he had a ton of death threats.
Right, exactly. And the U.S. examining a plot to sabotage airplane parts that were heading to Cuba. So here's a few more details on this. So the CIA mafia plot on Castro, this one's really fascinating to me. It was a 1975 document from the Rockefeller Commission that detailed the CIA's role in foreign assassinations, and their plans to assassinate Castro were undertaken in the early days of the Kennedy administration. And the report said that Robert Kennedy, the Attorney General, told the FBI that he learned the CIA hired an intermediary to approach Sam Giancana, who's a famous mob boss, with a proposition of paying $150,000 to hire a hitman to go into Cuba and kill Castro. And Robert Kennedy says that he heard about this and he's against it, and saying, hey, we can't be doing this kind of stuff because it makes us hard to prosecute Giancana later on if he has dealings with the American government, which the American government's hired him. In other words, he has compromising information on the government. How are we ever going to prosecute the guy if we're using these types of people to do this? And so he stated that the CIA should never undertake the use of mafia people again without first checking with the Department of Justice, because it'd be difficult to prosecute them. And it also says that the CIA was later interested in using mobsters to deliver a poison pill to Castro in order to kill him.
Wow.
Once again, nothing that says that Oswald didn't do it, but still very fascinating information that is maybe embarrassing to our government, but it's the truth. It's something that happened. And
say we've heard of these things 30
years
before,
things,
but we've never seen it documented before. And I think even whatever it's been, 54 years later, that freaks you out a little bit, doesn't it?
Yeah. Oh, I bet you our government
does all
sorts of
underhand things. If we knew everything that, some of the operations that we, especially back then when there was such paranoia, I don't know. I don't think it'd play very well.
There was a document back in November 24th of 63, J. Edgar Hoover addressing the death of Oswald at the hands of Ruby. He was pissed. Hoover was pissed that he had warned the Dallas police, said, you've got to protect this guy, because Hoover said, if he gets killed, we're going to have a bunch of conspiracy talk, basically.
Mm-hmm. Boy, he was right.
And he was exactly right. And he told the Dallas cops that he had received a call from a man talking in a calm voice saying he was a member of a committee to kill Oswald, and that he pressed the Dallas chief of police to protect Oswald, and he was pissed off that Ruby was allowed close enough to kill Oswald after he had sat there and warned the Dallas police to protect Oswald. And Hoover goes on to say in this document, Ruby says no one was associated with him and denies having made the telephone call to our Dallas office last night. So, once again, that doesn't prove Oswald did it. As a matter of fact, exactly like you say, Giorgio, Oswald just killed an American president, and people are going to threaten to kill him.
Sure.
So, this means nothing. But Hoover goes on to say that the FBI had evidence of Oswald's guilt, and he talks about how they intercepted Oswald's communication with Cuba and the Soviet Union. And he said that he was concerned there would be doubt in the public about Oswald's guilt because of the killing of Oswald and things like that. And Oswald did go down to Mexico City and try to defect to the Cuban embassy and also talked with the Russian embassy there in Mexico City. Which, that stuff's interesting to me. There was a national security document from 62 before Kennedy's murder that referenced Operation Mongoose, which was an attempt to topple communism in Cuba. And in the minutes of that meeting, that's when they talked about the CIA sabotaging airplane parts scheduled to be shipped from Canada to Cuba. And I don't know what that involved, whether it was going to be on Castro's plane that would make that plane go down or what.
Oh.
But just once again, the CIA trying to kill a foreign leader, which... Was it against the law then? I don't know. You know, we have that policy or law that the U.S. will not attempt to assassinate foreign foes, leaders, if they're the leader of their country. Then this one's really interesting. This is the document from 75, Rockefeller Center Commission document, in which they're interviewing former CIA director Richard Helms. Now, in this transcript, Helms says that former President Nixon believed the CIA was responsible for the death of South Vietnamese president, and I can't pronounce his name, Nguyen Dinh Diem. You know, the South Vietnamese president. We were just watching the documentary on
Vietnam.
Nixon thought the CIA was responsible for killing him. He died in that coup that was linked to the CIA. And then you have him saying, Helms said, there is absolutely no evidence of this in the agency records, and the whole thing has been heated by the fact that President Johnson used to go around saying that the reason President Kennedy was assassinated was that he had assassinated President Diem, and this was justice. So Johnson was going around saying that after the Kennedy assassination, that he felt that Kennedy was assassinated because Kennedy had known about and authorized the assassination of the South Vietnamese president, which is an interesting twist, given us just talking about the Vietnam documentary. And then, and this part is the most fascinating, the deposition continues with Helms, and he's asked if there was any way Oswald was in some way a CIA agent. And then the document cuts off.
Uh-huh.
That is fascinating.
I think we have our answer.